This is the concluding part of a message by David Ebal entitled Heresy Unto Perfection.
Now I want to get in, now we're in some areas that are going to be tough. However, remember, as I go into these areas, I'm not trying to single out anything. Maybe that you're a member of some of these groups, or you may not be a member. I'm a member of the CBMC, I'm a member of the Full Gospel, and so forth, and I'm going to be talking about all these different groups, and trying to show you what this division is causing. The Mormons had a truth. Now that ought to shock you right off. Some of you was alive. It's a Mormon, it couldn't be. Well, look, they brought the prophets and church government. A firm, good church government. It's all right. However, I'm not a Mormon, even though I said that. Do you think I'm a Mormon because I said that? No. All right, take the next one, Branham. William Branham was absolutely a prophet of God. There's no question in my mind that this man was a prophet of God. From 1945 to 1952, this man was absolutely God's man of faith and power, the man of the hour, William Branham. There's absolutely no question. However, I'm not a Branhamite. When he died, I didn't go to see him raised from the dead like a lot of them did. And it might surprise some of us to know that they really did, and they held a big meeting there on Easter because, well, they waited the third day and thought it better work, and then they went back and, you know, all this kind of stuff. But look, this man is a prophet, a real prophet. But I don't sit and listen to all 900 tapes. Now, they got the 900 tape library, and some people are so tied up with this man and his prophecies that they couldn't come to this place here and listen to anything that was said, because what they would really do was say, every word that came out of here, they would compare it with what Branham said, and this would be whether it was right or wrong. They didn't come to learn or to see or anything new, as far as they were concerned. Everything had been revealed because Branham revealed it. He was God's prophet, so there's nothing new. Can you understand that? Now, am I pro-Branham or against Branham? Can you tell? No, it's neither. I recognize him. Look, T.L. Osborne, Oral Roberts, help me out. Charismatics, major charismatics, can trace either first generation or second generation to William Branham. Laying on hands. Every one of them, either first or second generation. That is, if you understand it as Pope, then they would be the cardinals or bishops in that. Understand when I say generation. If he was the Pope, then each one of them, there'd be no lower than bishops as far as all the high hierarchy. Well, take David Shkerian even, and so forth. All of them can trace directly. He was the bringer, he brought in the charismatic movement. And you charismatics really ought to get a book on Branham's life. But don't follow Branhamites. Now, is that all right? Is there anybody mad at me on that? Really great man. British Israel. And here's another one. There's a lot of truth in that. However, if you swing it all the way, you'll say, well, colored people can't get saved. And we have some that believe that unless you're Anglo-Saxon, you'll never make it, you know, into the kingdom. Well, I think it's wrong. I think it's very, very wrong. I think the scriptures prove absolutely over and over again that Gentiles, barbarians, and call them what you want, can come to, you know, Jesus Christ. And then they're children of Abraham by faith, and you make it in. However, it does make a fascinating study to see how the Dan and the Danube and all those things and all those tribes and names as they came across Europe, and it's a very interesting study. However, there's not a scripture anywhere that you can prove it. You can only imply it. It's a whole structured cell, if I could call it that, built on circumstantial evidence. Just a fantastic amount of circumstantial evidence, but no direct witness proof. This is it. Can you understand what I'm saying? So, here again, it's a very, very interesting study. If you want to study it, I can give you all kind of books on that. Still, I'm not British Israel. And I want you to understand that. Now, take, for instance, this magazine I passed out the other week. The Pyramid. That was written by people who are very definitely British Israel. Now, if I was still building the structure, I wouldn't have given you that magazine, because I knew in the same magazine was some literature, pro-Anglo-Saxon literature. Can you understand what I'm saying now? Now, please don't be mad at me. I am Anglo-Saxon, and I'm not against Anglo-Saxons, but I'm not building that structure. But if I was only trying to build my structure, I would have taken that book and rewritten it and left out those parts. And how many know that happens lots of times? In fact, right now, the nicest thing that's happened to me so far is that people are telling me that in certain denominations, they're starting to rewrite my book on the key to Revelation, the doubles and parallels, and take out certain things that I've said in the back part to make it acceptable to their seminaries and groups. Do you understand what I'm talking about? And then they can teach the doubles and parallels with their author's name on it. Hallelujah. Look, I'm not mad a bit about that. You know, I don't make enough on the book in the first place, you know, to be motivated in that realm. But, you see, well, let's face it. What's the sincerest form of flattery? Huh? Imitation. Mimic. Copying. See? And so to me, that's great. I'm glad for it. And I don't care about that. Now we'll take the Seventh-day Adventists. They have a truth, a very genuine truth on the Sabbath. There's no question in my mind that the Sabbath is Saturday. No argument? Huh? I thought there surely there'd be somebody rise up on that one. The Sabbath is Saturday. But I particularly honor all days, and when I go to church, I go on Sunday because that's when all my friends go. See? But there's no question in my mind as far as the numbers and cycles and events and all that kind of stuff. Saturday's the Sabbath. Jehovah's Witnesses have a truth about the second coming. They're kind of in a bad air about this 144,000. You know, as far as they're concerned, the only Jehovah's Witnesses, but they are the 144,000, and then something bad happened to them, too. They all died. The original Jehovah's Witness, the original 144,000. Those who had this witness, you understand that they had a vision, they started counting them, they fill out a blank, 144,000 blank, and everybody put their name in. When they got it finished, that was it. Church was full. Okay, Jesus, come. I mean, that might sound sacrilegious, but that's part of it. And all 144,000 died. Now, there was a real truth. They were Adventists. They believed in the coming of Christ. Well, look, that was a whole lot more than the others were believing back then. At least they were doing something about it and trying, you know, they had to figure it out the best they could. Now, they're embarrassed, and they did. You know, after the last one died, they didn't know what to do because they had that big printing plant and all that kind of literature. Well, when the grandsons took over. CBMC. When I say CBMC, do you know what I'm talking about? Christian Businessmen's Committee, CBMC. How many have heard of it? Do we have any members? Any members here? Am I the only member? CBMC started in 1938, and it's the father for the full gospel businessmen. In fact, Dean Shakarian was the president, and down in California, the CBMC, in 1945, and there was quite a story about that. Now, what happened? Tongues got into the CBMC. Now, what do you expect? Huh? So what else could there be? The full gospel was nothing but a son of the CBMC. It split because of tongues. And consequently, whenever I go to a CBMC meeting, they make sure that I sit at the right place. So they can watch me. Now, I personally am a chapter organizer, past president of CBMC in various places around the country, as well as full gospel businessman. But because they know I speak in tongues, they still take my membership fee. But most men who speak in tongues won't bother with them anymore. Won't go to their meetings. because there is a very definite division, and it hurts. And there's a social division. We can feel the hurt. We can feel it. Come on now, you've been in the same thing in churches and environments where you feel the pressure against you because you believe in one thing and, so, and the other. Now we'll get to the word heresy. That's the introduction's over now for the lesson. The lesson's on a heresy. First thing, remember this, if you don't remember anything else. A heresy is not necessarily right or wrong. Most people believe heresy is bad, wrong. It's not necessarily so. Turn right now to the book of Acts, chapter 24. Acts 24, to see if a heresy is right or wrong. First we'll read it from Paul, and then we'll get the dictionary definition, or I mean the Bible bit definition. 24. Paul speaking, and he said, neither can they prove the things wherewith they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, this is true, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I, the God of my fathers, believing all the things which are written in the law and the prophets. So you see, Paul said, admitted he was a heretic, because a heretic is one who has a choice, opinion, or a sentiment. And exercises his choice, opinion, or sentiment. And just for the record, I think you're all heretics. I personally believe every person here is a heretic. You'd have to be a heretic to have stayed this long and gone through what we've already gone through. You have to be. Technically, you are a heretic. Now, you may not want it. Paul said, I confess I am. Well, that's not bad company. To be a heretic with Paul. So you see, a heretic is one who believes something outside the mainstream. Now the mainstream will always be conservative and backward and holding on to their structure, but a heretic will go beyond and outside and believe something else. Now, a heretic can be very, very right and very, very wrong. Every revival was a heresy. Now you think, every revival, by definition, must be heresy. And therefore, those who are in the structured group, the main line, must look upon the revival as something to fear, something that's coming against them. And if everybody follows that revival instead of us, we'll lose our positions. Sounds like John chapter 11 and the Pharisees' interest in their position. 1 Corinthians 11 says there must be sex. I don't have time. You just write that down. 1 Corinthians 11, 18 and 19, and Galatians 5:20. The works of the flesh, and the word heresy is used there again. And in 2 Peter 2:1, the false prophet. So we can go all the way from a false prophet to Paul the Apostle, and they're all heresies. A heresy is not necessarily bad according to Acts 24, but it could be bad according to 2 Peter 2. What then is the heresy that's right and the heresy that's wrong? Let me try to say this. I hope you understand me. The heresy that's right is that the rapture or the resurrection will come after we've been tried and tested. You understand that? That's a heresy. Not generally accepted. I believe that the rapture will be after the tribulation. That's heresy. And it's right. It's right because it said it's right, but you believe, you know, you've heard enough scripture on that to know why I believe it. That makes it right. What's wrong is if I said the very same words with my jaw set, with my fist clenched, with rejecting you because you don't believe the way I do, it would become a sect or a party spirit. Now, can you see what I'm driving at? And see how close, what a fine line this is? Because those of us who are delving into and deeply desirous of end-time truths must embrace heresies. It's essential. There's no other way. It must be a heresy or it couldn't be coming end-time truth. And at the same time that we embrace that, we must not become unto ourselves a sect or exhibit a party spirit, which means I'm right, you're wrong, or that heresy turns from a good heresy to a bad heresy, because now it has become a divisive party spirit. Yet that same truth, when operating in the lives of those other people, they may call it an error and decide to exhibit party spirit. So now, can you see what it is that you must come into? A realm where you're no longer strongly oriented toward a certain party, a certain man, Apollos, Paul, Cephas, I am of this persuasion or that persuasion? Uh-uh. I am of Christ. Say it. I am of Christ. That's all. Now, you can be persuaded, you can have these doctrines, you can come into these things, but when you get a sectarian party spirit, a withdrawal, I'm right, I can't participate with those people because they're wrong, then you become wrong, sectarian, party spirit. It's wrong. It's wrong. We can't do that. We must love all the others, no matter what realm you're in. Danamite, Seventh-day Adventist, Jehovah's Witness, Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Lutheran, if you can understand it, whatever it is, name the name of Christ, Jesus Christ, accept them, love them, don't get a withdrawn part of spirit, because that is the thing that turns it into the bad heresy instead of doing. Go ahead, Josh. That's right, he did. That's right, he did. In other words, even getting rid of, we even got that, don't we? I shouldn't have really said that. I slipped out. It was a bad one. I'm glad you did that, George, because how many know that after you get saved, you're not allowed to associate with those people down the street? Huh? And it still becomes a sectarian party spirit, doesn't it? And we don't even associate with your neighbor anymore, that kind of stuff, because now that I'm saved in the church, why I can't talk to them anymore, because they're bad and they go to the football game or whatever. Yeah, on Sunday. Oh, brother. Well, anyway, are you see what I'm talking about? So let's all be very, very sensitive. Now, whether or not we talk about rapture, baptism, speaking in tongues, take it. You know, put your thing in the blank there. Whatever it is, whatever thing you're talking about. Those things can be very true and very genuine. We're not knocking it down. We're not saying that this we will do if God permits. Those are important things. But to form of the sectarian, sect party spirit now moves a truth from the truth standpoint into a bad heresy, because now you're divisive. Now here's the question. What is divisive? The truth or the people? Now you think of this for a minute. What is it? Now you think for just a minute. When the comes in, who rejects it? The people. Okay. Whenever you embrace a new truth, you can expect to be rejected. But you cannot reject. Can you see it that way? You can just expect it. You're going to get in trouble. You're going to be rejected. It's automatic. But you're not allowed to reject them. And to make it even more maturing, the worse they act toward you, the nicer you act toward them. Now that's maturing. And am I making sense to you right now? Is anybody mad? Huh? All right then. If it's all right with you, I'd like to have a prayer with you, and this would be the prayer. I would like to pray that none of us ever come into a I'm right, you're wrong, sectarian, party spirit, but every one of us will always, no matter what God reveals to us or how far we go, up the steps or, you know, whatever the thing is, that will every one of us love every other Christian and never develop the attitude, oh, look at us, we're the highest, the greatest, the most. Have you got the idea? But we'll just have the attitude, behold your handmaiden. Behold your servant. Be it unto me, even as you have said. That's all we can do. Is that a reasonable request, a reasonable prayer? Would you stand with me? And let's make that prayer tonight.
Our Father, in Jesus' name.
Lord, we thank you for the love that we felt with these people and the love that's bound us together. Lord, we recognize that this has been a very cohesive group. Lord, we thank you for the oneness of the Spirit we felt here tonight. It's been good. We know, Lord, that this could not have been done except you did it. Now, Lord, we pray that as we're coming into end time truths, as we're advancing and coming into perfection, that none of us get a sectarian spirit, that none of us get a know-it-all attitude, that none of us begin to build anything, but we'll just reach out our arms to everybody, every person, who will meet the need with love of every person, and that will edify and build up each other in love. We pray right now that your Holy Spirit will quicken this lesson and bring these words back, that this will not fall on bad ground, that there'll be no fowls that'll come in and just take this away, but this will be all of it germinating and bringing forth fruit. 100%. We pray, Lord, that this will be a 100% fruit-bearing session, that though we of ourselves recognize, here we are, behold, your handmaiden, your servant, still we have an unction. We didn't get it, Lord, you put it there. And it's churning within us. And it's saying, be it unto me even so, just the way you said it, Lord. So Lord, we're standing as candidates and we're working, we are studying, we admit it, and we're working on the Word and we're praying for the Holy Spirit, and yet we realize of ourselves we're not going to take these steps until you make us, until they work out in our lives, until you bring the influence to our lives. We thank you for it, because Lord, if we had to do it ourselves, I guess most of us have been up the top and down 1,000 times. But you're just bringing us step by step. Lord, we just trust you now that each one of us will never, never develop a sectarian spirit and turn a heresy truth into a heresy hatred. We realize that as these truths are restored, that not everybody will love them, some will hate them, but we pray, Lord, that none of us are guilty of bringing forth that hate, of bringing forth that division. So we pray, Lord, that that division will come from the other side, the rejectors, those who will not have it. And we ask, Lord, that even when we see these divisions occurring, that our love will go out to those people too. We even pray for those who hate us, despitefully use us. We pray, Lord, that of ourselves, we'll never do anything to cause a division, but only that truth will be projected, only Jesus Christ will be lifted up, and if there, and when the division occurs, it will always be on the rejecter side, never on ours. We pray, Lord, none of us will set our jaws, will clench our fists, and say, I'm right, I'm right, I'm right. But each one of us will always have a spirit of, Lord, show me. We trust you for these things, knowing, Lord, that there's something very important to occur in our lives because the changes are coming about us so fast. We pray, Lord, for supernatural power as we're coming into these changes. We can't handle them, Lord, but we know that with your power leading, that they'll be handled. We trust you for it, Lord, and thank you, Lord, for the love that we felt among all the people here tonight. And we pray, Lord, that you'll bring us back together at the appointed time. In Jesus' name, amen.